If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. Pastor Smith is going to deal with one of the toughest passages that's in the New Testament. And we're going to deal with it. Bring your Bibles next week. Next week we start our lessons in the book of 1 John. Come yourself and bring somebody with you as we talk about what a genuine Christian looks like. Amen. 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 Now, let me have a word of prayer as we get into this passage together, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every member of Blessed Hope Bible Church. Thank you for those who are visiting with us this morning. Mold and shape us into the church that will not only honor and glorify your name, but a church that you will use to make a difference in our culture. We look forward to the day when we will stand before your throne in humble worship and adoration to you. In the meantime, while we wait with great expectation, may we be faithful in all that we do for the cause of Christ. Yes, yes, yes. Now, Lord, bless us as we look into your word this morning. In the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, there is a false perception out here in our culture. And I want to deal with as we talk about where this is going. There's a false perception. And this false perception is that we can save ourselves. You hear me? It's a false perception. We can save ourselves. Many of us think we can save our country by ourselves. We don't need the Lord. We can do this. That is a mistake. Many of us think we can save our communities. That is a false perception. We can't save our communities by ourselves without the Lord. Oh, yeah. Many of us think we can save our families. Some of our families are in trouble. And we think that if we go to the right psychologist, watch the right television show, we can correct the problems in our families. You can't do it without Jesus. Y'all know this, don't you? The Republican platform, let me just say something, just follow me for a moment. The Republican platform says we can make America safe again. We can make America work again. We can make America great again. Now, that sounds wonderful, but there's one thing. We left out God. We didn't say with God we can do all things, or we can do all things with Christ who strengthens us. We said we. And we're going to try to pull this off without the Lord. The Democratic platform says we can make change in America together despite our differences. Black, white, Asian, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight. Together, they say we can do it, but they didn't mention Jesus either. A nation cannot become great without Christ. A nation cannot become great. A community cannot become great. A family cannot turn from dysfunction to function without Christ. All my life, y'all, I'm going to just tell you something. All my life, as I was coming up, folk have been marching about one thing or another. Am I right about it? Amen. Even in the recent months, we've had marches, you know, in our community. And I realized something because I've seen so many as I've grown up. I've seen so many. I realized, you know what? Marches don't change people. Did I say something wrong? Marches don't change people. Christ changes people. Because he changed you from your heart. They don't change people. We've been politicking since all of us have been born. We've been politicking. No matter what, doesn't matter what party you in. One party says this, one party says that, one party says we're going to do this, one party says I'm going to stop you from doing this. One party says we need more money. One party says we need less money. You know, they've been talking and talking. But if politics would bring change, all of us would be spiritually godly people in America. We almost have Eden on earth. Does it look like Eden to you? Some people feel if I just get involved in a community that'll bring change. Well, you'll make a mark. You'll do something good. You know, God don't mind you doing something good, but without the Lord, there'll be no real change nowhere, because change starts in men's hearts. Once it starts in men's heart, then it branches out into your family. Then it branches out into your community. Then it branches out into your nation. Then it branches out into the world. But it has to start with you. It has to start in your heart. And if it don't start there, it ain't going to start. You know why this is a false perception? Is because we forgot one small element that's always around us: sin. Sin. We don't realize how strong sin is, how deep-rooted sin is, how controlling sin is, not just in our own personal lives, but in our community, in our nation, and in our world as a whole. Sin is running rampant. And until we look at sin in our own personal lives, our world is going to continue to be dysfunctional. Only the Spirit of God in the heart of a man or a woman who has trusted in Christ. Let me say it again. Only the Spirit of God in the heart of a man or a woman who has trusted Christ, only that can bring genuine freedom and genuine deliverance and genuine victory over what I call spiritual moral problems in our world. But it starts with us. It starts with each individual. But here's the problem. Some of us assume that we can save ourselves. And that's where the problem starts. We assume that we can do something good enough, positive enough, great enough to make ourselves acceptable before God. That the problem starts there, and that's where the failure starts as well. Your sermon lesson this morning is that you cannot heal sin-based problems with human-based actions. Human-based actions. Stuff that we do cannot heal stuff that sin does. You cannot heal sin-based problems by stuff you do. You need Christ. Now, I'm going to look at a tough passage of Scripture this morning. This is a Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read it. And when I read it, something's going to come out that sounds real tough. But this passage is going to help us see ourselves and see how much we need the Lord and how much we need to continue to depend on the Lord as an individual. And then we can worry about God using us to make a difference in our community. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Galatians. I want you to go to chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. One of the toughest passages of Scripture in the New Testament. And I want you to perk your ears up and listen carefully as to how Brother Smith handles this passage with you. Amen? Amen. Now, here we go. Galatians chapter 5, begin with verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now watch this, verse 2. It's tough one. Here it is. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Now watch this. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, whoa, here it is. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. What am I trying to say to you? Human-based actions cannot heal sin-based problems in your personal life and in society in general. It just won't work. Now, here's why. I give you three reasons why. I'm going to give you three reasons why. In verses 1 and 2, you know, human achievement, what you do, what you are doing, what you're trying to do, human achievement fails to do something. It fails to acknowledge the need for God's help. And here's a starting point problem that a lot of people have. I don't need God. I can do this on my own. Well, you've opened yourself to immediate failure. The minute you say, I can do this on my own, I can find my own job, I can get to heaven on my own, I can find my own wife, I can buy my own house, I can live my own life, I can do what I do on my own, I don't need a God up there somewhere to help me. It's all up to me. That is the beginning of your downfall. You see, if you say that, especially religious people, because religious people are saying it too, especially religious people. When you say, I don't need God's help, you are assuming that Christ ain't good enough. Now, let me read this verse again. Look what this verse says, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. See, these Galatian Christians are like you and me. Somebody came to them and shared the gospel message to them. Somebody told them that you are saved by faith in Christ alone. And they said, fine, that's good. I like it. But then somebody else came after them. Somebody else came later and they said, you need more than just believing in Christ. You got to keep the law. You got to get circumcised first. Have y'all been circumcised? Well, no. Well, you got to get circumcised and you got to keep the law. If you're not circumcised and if you don't keep the law, I don't care how much you love Jesus, you ain't going to heaven. And those Christians got scared. Look, let's hope no matter how well we preach and no matter how well we teach, a false teacher from anywhere can sneak in here and deceive us all. If you're not hanging tough on your faith, and if you don't take seriously that faith in Christ alone is what saves you, somebody else can come right after Brother Smith. Somebody can come after you, come after me, and say, "Y'all ain't saved here. Bless the whole Bible Church. You ain't saved. Do you guys keep the law?" Well, we like the law, but are you keeping it for your salvation? If you don't keep the law, y'all ain't going to heaven. I once had a dear lady, a dear senior. She was as humble and as serious as a heart attack. I said, I'm saved because I believe in Jesus. She said, no, brother, you ain't saved right. I said, I'm not. No, baby. That was a no, baby. Well, how do I get saved right? You got to wash one another's feet. You mean I got to wash somebody's feet in order to, yes, and unless you wash one another's feet, you're not going to make it, baby. I almost wanted to, can I start by washing yours? Maybe that might make you feel better and make you, and maybe that might allow you to accept me as a brother in Christ. There's always going to be somebody telling you that you got to do something else to be saved. There's always going to be somebody telling you got to do something else to be saved. And that implies something. That implies, number one, that implies that Christ ain't good enough. If you got to do something to go to heaven, Christ ain't good enough. And if Christ ain't good enough, what that means is that God the Father sent him in vain. What'd he come here for if he ain't good enough? And if he ain't good enough, then he died in vain. His death on the cross was worthless. He died in vain. He rose in vain. And he ascended up into heaven in vain. All of that is useless because you got to do something to get into heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for dying. Thank you for rising from the dead. I sure do appreciate that you're sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, but you ain't good enough. I need to do something to make sure I make it in. I'm doing the best I can to make it in. And you may be surprised, but that is the mindset of a whole lot of people who attend a whole lot of churches. But you want to know the secret? Here's a second implication. The Apostle Paul said, In verse 1, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. And don't be entangled. Don't get trapped. Don't get tied up with a yoke of bondage. Don't let nobody put you in bondage. Because if you're trying to do this on your own, you have placed yourself in bondage. You are in bondage. Y'all know what it feels like to be in bondage? It means you're trapped. You're trapped in something that you cannot get out of. Our text, you know, if Christ ain't good enough, that means he not only did he come in vain and died in vain, but it also means, you know what? The second implication, you're not trusting Christ at all. If you're trusting what, and listen to me, because here I hear this from a lot of people. They say, I believe in Jesus. That's real good. Then they turn right around after they say that, I believe in Jesus. They turn around and say, I'm doing the best I can to get into heaven. And then I say, I have to stop and say, wait a minute. Now, you just told me who you believe in. Yeah, I did. I told you who I believe in. I believe in Jesus. No, you don't. Listen to me. If you are trusting what you do to make it in, you don't believe in Jesus. You're not trusting Jesus. You trust in yourself. You trust in you. Your trust is in what you're doing. It's so slick. It's so smooth, the mind can almost overlook it. Yes. How you know you're going to heaven? Well, my good works outweigh my bad works. They just told you that they're trusting their works. Did you hear it? Yes. I'm trusting me to get into heaven. I'm trusting what I do to get into heaven. And that's what's wrong with our world. We are trusting what we do to correct the problems of our society. We are trusting our energy, our works to correct our families. And we are trusting our works to get into heaven. All will lead you to failure. They're all failure. Y'all see what I'm saying? So my point is, you don't need Christ at all if your salvation is based on what you do. What do you need Jesus for? I mean, why are we in here? What do we need Christ for? Get to work. Get involved. Do something for yourself and don't be waiting on God because he might or might not help you. That means you are trusting you to do everything. Well, you probably be saying, well, Brother Smith, does that mean I don't do nothing? Does that mean I don't vote? Does that mean I don't get involved in community action? Does that mean I just sit here and look simple and just wait on God to do everything? No, that's not what I'm telling you. It means that no matter what I do, and I'm going to do a lot, it means I am trusting Christ for everything. I often tell people, you know what, I don't care who becomes our next president. Listen to me, because my trust is not in a man. If the country elects Trump, I ain't leaving. I ain't leaving America. I'm staying right here. Oh, yes, I am. I'm staying right here because I'm going to be trusting Jesus. No matter what he does, I'm trusting Jesus. And besides, my father served in this country in the military. He fought in 2 wars for this country. He fought in the Korean conflict and he fought at Vietnam. He survived both and I ain't going nowhere. My son who is here with us is in the reserve and he is serving his country and he is serving his country with honor and I ain't going nowhere. See, I'm trusting the Lord with everything. And if I'm sitting up here crying and whining about what's going on in this world and in this country, what I'm telling you is that I'm not trusting Jesus. I'm looking at my world and I'm looking at what I or somebody else can do to save it. Hey, I'm looking to Jesus. And that's what I'm asking you to do, to look to Jesus. Now we come to verse 2, which brings me to the second reason why human-based actions cannot heal sin-based problems. Let me read it. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Now listen to me, y'all. The second reason why human-based actions cannot heal sin-based problems, the first reason was because it fails to acknowledge God's help. It fails to acknowledge the need of God's help. But the second reason is it fails to acknowledge the power and depth of sin. Y'all, you don't realize how powerful sin is. Sin is stronger than you think. Y'all remember the New Year's resolutions that you made? Y'all remember them? No, you don't, do you? You done forgot them. You been and forgot them. You forgot them before January ended. You had good intentions when you made the resolution. Yes, you did. Some of you were serious and honorable, and you had tears. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's when you made it. But you know what? The sin in your heart, the sin in your life say you can cry all you want, but you ain't doing none of that. I'm going to see to it. Sin is that strong. You know, thankful, Simon, you've tested yourself. You tested. Say to yourself, you know, have a nice, big, giant chocolate cake on your table. And then say unto thyself, I am not going to eat that cake because I am either on a diet, I am watching my sugar, I am watching, you know, my cavities, my teeth, and I'm just not going to eat that cake. And that cake is going to say, eat me. You're going to try to resist. You're going to try to resist. But that flesh is stronger than you think. and the flesh will put a collar around your neck and drag you to that tape. That flesh will put a knife in your hand and make you cut it. It will force you to take a big piece. Force you. And it will say, open up. And it will make you open your mouth. It will make you do it. That's because we don't realize, we don't realize how powerful sin is. And when you try to fight sin on your own, that's a losing fight. That's a losing battle. In your own life, in community, in the nation, we're trying to heal sin-based problems with human-based actions. It's not going to work. Sin is too strong. Now, verse 3 gives us a couple of implications why that can't happen. Number one, implication number one, a salvation that is based on what you do or what you are doing, it implies that you have to maintain your salvation or the hope of achieving it. It implies you have to maintain your salvation. And our text says in verse 3, I testify again to everyone who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Here's what Paul is saying. If you're trying to get saved by what you do, then you have to stay saved by what you do. If you try to get saved by what you do, then you're going to have to stay saved by what you do. And if you try to stay saved by what you do, that's a failing proposition. You're not going to make it. It's like the cake illustration I gave you. You just won't be able to do it because the flesh, the sinful flesh, is that strong. You would have to, if your salvation is based on what you do, you would have to do good 100% of the time, every day of your life until the day we put you in the ground. You have to do that 100%. You couldn't sin. You couldn't mess up one day. Because if you messed up, you lost it. And if you messed up, you lost it again. How many times are you going to keep it? Well, you'll never keep it. Because you will mess up every day. Paul says, you know what? If you're trying to get saved, and they told these Galatians, you get saved by getting circumcised. That is, you're keeping the law. Well, if you get saved by keeping the law, you got to continue keeping the law. Because see, what you're doing is you're not trusting Christ for your salvation. You're trusting what you do for your salvation. Y'all, if you are depending on what you do, and I know some of you even here, there are a lot of folk in a lot of churches who think that going to church is going to open the doors of heaven for them. But what if you stop going to church? You can close them doors. You're not going to make it. Some folk think, well, God owes me heaven because I gave so much money to the church. How much money do you have to give to the church in order to go to heaven? Every dime that you got and then some. And then you're still not guaranteed to make it after that. Because that's not enough. I'm being good. I'm doing good things. Yeah, but you do bad things too. And the bad things that you do mess up the good things. You know what? Nobody remembers the good stuff that you do. Y'all know that? But mess up one time. Mess up one time, and that's the only thing people will remember. They will remember the bad things that you did. Even if you are a faithful husband. Let's just say you are a faithful husband. But cheat one time. One time. That's all you need is one time. And that one time will always be remembered. She won't remember the flowers and the candy and the vacations that you took her on and the surprise cards and the kisses and all. That won't be remembered. Only one thing will stick. You cheated on me. That will stick for the rest of your life. Isn't that something? One mess up. That's how, y'all don't think sin is that powerful. Huh? That's how powerful sin really is. Well, I can't match that, Brother Smith. I can't make it. That's right. You can't make it on your own. And so that's the first implication. Second implication about that, look, if you base your salvation on what you're doing, you can forfeit it at any time. And if you can forfeit your salvation any time, listen to me, my friends, you can never have assurance. You know, there are a lot of folk in church, they're living scared. They're terrified. They're terrified. They don't have confidence. They don't have assurance. You know, a lot of Americans, they don't have confidence and they don't have assurance. They are scared to death. And some of our politicians are manipulating them because of their fear. They're scared. And the reason why they're scared is because they're hoping that some hero will come down from the sky and save them from their economic, political, and social problems. Somebody that will just make it all go away, and they know there's nobody like that, and so they're running scared. Some of you are running scared because you know you're not good enough to maintain your salvation, and guess what? You're not. Some of you, you don't have security. You don't have confidence. Let me tell you something now. Every last one of you that knows the name of Jesus Christ, you should have the conviction that you're going to heaven. You should know you're going to heaven. If you are a Christian, you should be able to look anybody in the eye and say, I'm going to heaven. They'll look back and say, no, you ain't, you little wicked witch. And you say, yes, I am. Well, what makes you think you're going to heaven? I'm going to heaven because I'm trusting Jesus, yeah. Not me. Yeah. I'm going to heaven on the coattails of Jesus, not on the coattails of man. And therefore, I know I'm going to heaven. And I tell people this all the time. I know I'm going to heaven. Yeah. I'm so certain I'm going to heaven. I'm more certain that I'm not even worried about it no more. You don't hear me crying, will I make it? You know, I know I'm going. When you have that kind of confidence, it helps you deal with everything else that's going on in life. Amen. Every last one of you should know. If you don't know, if you're trying to make it in on what you're doing, Christ will profit you nothing. Christ died for nothing. He came for nothing. He exists for nothing because you're not trusting him. You are trusting yourself. But now here is the third and last reason. This is where we get into the tough passage. The reason why human-based actions won't solve sin-based problems in your personal life, in your community, in your world. The reason why that won't happen because, number one, it fails to acknowledge the need of God. It fails to acknowledge God's need. In fact, in order to get saved, you gotta recognize you need to get saved. It fails to recognize how powerful and how deep sin is. And in order to get saved, you gotta recognize your sin. You got to acknowledge you are a sinner. And thirdly, it fails to recognize that whatever you do is unacceptable before God. Everything that man tries to do to bring a solution is unacceptable. Now, some things that we do are good. Helping someone, tutoring somebody to help them read, that's a good thing. But it's not good enough to get you into heaven. Running for office so you can make a difference in your community, that's a good thing. That's noble. But it is not good enough to make you acceptable before a holy God. Getting in a profession that helps the community in some way, form, or fashion, that's a good thing and that's noble. But it is not good enough to make a person acceptable before God, because God's not going to ask you how many people did you help learn to read? Or how many people did you feed? or how many innocent people did you defend and get them off from going to jail for something they didn't do? God's not going to ask you that. God's going to ask you one. These guys are going to look at one question. Is the blood of Christ covering you? Is the blood of Christ covering you because of your sin? Now look at what verses 4 and 5 say. This is one of the toughest verses in the Bible. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Now I know what a lot of people are thinking. Oh my goodness. It is possible to lose your salvation. Because that's one of the verses that those who teach that you can lose your salvation, this is one of the verses that they use to teach that you can lose your salvation. And what they're saying, it is possible to be with Christ, have fellowship with Christ, then make Christ mad and he kicks you out of fellowship with him. Get out of here. That's what they're thinking. Then you got to beg Christ to get back in fellowship with him. And he says, okay, come on back. You've been good. Come on, you can come back. But then you act the fool again, and then you get kicked out again. So you can get kicked, you can be estranged from Christ 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 times before it's all over, and then still die and not be close to Jesus Christ and lose eternal life in the end. And that's what scares people. Scares a lot of people. The falling from grace part. I had grace, but then I lost it. Do y'all know what grace is? Grace is not something that you work for. You see, how can you lose something that you didn't work for in the first place? You can't lose something that you didn't work for in the first place. Now, if you work for it, yeah, you can lose it. You guys know, do you know you can lose everything you worked for? You worked hard for your house and you can lose it in one day. You worked hard for your 401k. Something can go wrong with the stock market. You can lose it overnight. Am I scaring somebody? You can work hard to raise your family and in one night lose your entire family. Now, I don't know about you, that is scary. A lot of Americans are running scared because they know they can lose it all in a moment's notice. There is no guarantee that what you got, you get to keep. But with Jesus, it's different. With Jesus, it is different. Because you didn't earn the know-how. He gave it to you. And God is no Indian giver. When he gives it, you get to keep it for all eternity. But let me explain a few things here in this passage. See, somebody told these Galatian Christians, you believe in Jesus, that's nice. You love Jesus, that's nice. But unless you get circumcised, you ain't saved. Unless you obey the law, you're not saved. And then some of the Galatian Christians, oh my goodness, go ahead, let me get circumcised. Let me come under the law. And what Paul is saying, if you come under the law, you can't pick and choose which laws you want to keep and which laws you don't want to keep. You don't get to pick and choose. You don't get to pick you don't get to say, I'm going to keep this law, but I don't like this law. You don't get to do that. You've got to keep all of the laws, like it or not. But if salvation is based on what you do, you are cut off. Now, some of your Bibles say you are cut off from Christ. The King James says Christ is of no effect unto you. But it literally reads in most Bibles, you are cut off from Christ or you are estranged from Christ. How does that happen to somebody? You don't get cut off from Christ because you did something. Now follow me. You get cut off from Christ because you didn't believe in Christ. Now let me explain this. You get cut off from Christ because you didn't believe him in the first place. Let me say it again. A person gets cut off from Christ, not because he did something wrong. Because we are sinners. Some of us sinned yesterday. Some of us are sinning right now. And most of us are going to sin tomorrow. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. You're going to sin. And if you do, 1 John 1:9. When you sin after you become a Christian, that does not cut you off from Christ. All right? But if you don't believe in Jesus, that's what cuts you off from Christ. Now, let me explain. Somebody told you, and I'm telling you, that in order to get saved, you have to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus alone and nobody else. You have to believe in Jesus. You say back to me, Brother Smith, that sounds good. You know what? I do believe in Jesus. Listen to me. I believe that he did come down from heaven. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again on the third day, just like you say. Yes, and I believe he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, Brother Smith, like you just explained to me. But, you say. Oh, here we go. Usually I said, don't butt me, but here we go. But, just in case, he ain't all that you say he is. I believe you, but just in case, I'm going to run with Hare Krishna too. Y'all follow me? I'm going to run with Hare Krishna just in case Jesus ain't good enough. So if Jesus lets me down, I got Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, you know, he might help me if Jesus can't help me. So I'm going to have Hare Krishna too. Then I have to say to you, then that means you don't believe in Jesus. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Because if you truly believed in Jesus, listen to me. If you truly believed in Jesus, you will go nowhere else to anybody else. You will go nowhere else. You would hang with Jesus the rest of your life if you truly believed in him. And if you don't, if you doubt him, you will do something else to ensure your salvation just in case Jesus don't work. And if you do that, you do not really believe in Jesus. And what you have done is that you have been cut off from Jesus. The reason why you've been cut off from Jesus is because you really don't believe in Jesus. Now, some of you are saying, yes, I do. Yes, I do, Pastor. I believe in Jesus. Okay. Then are you going to the Muslim mosque just in case Jesus don't work? Should I wash my mouth out with soap, y'all? You know, when I was coming up and I said bad words, my mom made me wash my mouth out with soap as if that was going to cleanse my mouth. But I didn't cleanse my mouth. My mouth was still dirty after the soap. I'm saying that if you really believe in Jesus, you will go nowhere else, to nobody else, to nothing else. Jesus would be supreme. You would believe in him and you would stake your destiny, your eternal destiny on him without question. He's not talking about getting saved and losing your salvation. He's talking about getting saved in the first place. He's talking to a group of people who are scared. They heard about Jesus, but they're scared. They're scared because they don't think Jesus is good enough. They have what I call foxhole religion. My dad told me about foxhole religion when he was in Vietnam. When he was in Vietnam, the soldiers would be in a foxhole in front of Charlie. Charlie was the Viet Cong. Viet Cong would be shooting bombs at you, bullets be zinging over your head, stuff be exploding all over around your foxhole. You know, you'd be hearing all kinds of noise out there. You're in a firefight. And when you're in the foxhole, you start praying. I'm praying to Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Krishna, or anybody else out there that can get me out this mess. That means they will take anything and anybody that they feel will solve the immediate problem that they're in. But when you truly believe in Jesus, when you don't have a job, you hang tough with Jesus. They just laid you off. You accept the Christ. They just laid you off. And you say, you don't say, I'm going to run to Krishna. You say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you to lead me to another job. Jesus, because I am your child, I'm going to trust you to lead me to another house. Jesus, because I believe in you, I'm going to trust you to take care of my family. I'm going to trust you with everything that goes on in my life. I'm not going nowhere else. I'm not going to anything else. I'm not going to something else. My total trust, my total dependency is on you. Come hell or high water, I'm with you to the end. Y'all, that's what it means to believe in Jesus. You don't tiptoe when you believe in Jesus. I'm with you when everything is good. I'm with Jesus. But as soon as the problem comes up, I'm with the Latter-day Saints now. What kind of stuff is that? You just told me you never believed in Jesus. Now, a lot of folk may not like that. They say, I don't like that. I don't like you talking like that, but that's the gospel truth, y'all. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. Total dependence upon him for everything at all times, no matter what. And so, if something should happen to Brother Smith and some other preacher come up and say, oh, Brother Smith lied to y'all. He lied. He told y'all that y'all were saved by faith in Jesus alone. That's a lie. You guys around here, Blessed Hope Bible Church, y'all gonna have to start washing one another's feet. We're gonna have to have a feet washing service around here, and in order to get saved or stay saved, you gotta wash 10 sets of feet every week. Now, after service, we're going to have a foot washing service, and all those who want to stay saved, y'all stay here and wash some feet. Now, that was at first. Now, I know I'm being facetious, you know, making it funny, but a person can make that convincing. He can be very convincing. And some of you would say, oh, my goodness, you know, maybe Brother Smith did lie. Maybe he lied to us and said that all I need is Jesus. I need more than Jesus. And if you say that, now listen to me, if you say that, what you're telling the false teacher, what you're telling everybody else around you is that you never really trusted Christ. You were just hoping. You were just hoping he was the only way of salvation. You really didn't believe it. And it's going to come out. It's going to come out in the way you act and in what you do. Yes, it will. What you believe comes out in the way you live. It's going to come out. Now, here's that other phrase here. You have become estranged from Christ, verse 4. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you that are trying to be saved by what you do, listen to what he says. If you try to get saved by what you do, guess what? You have fallen from grace. It's not that you had grace. Here's what you did. You rejected the grace of God. Let me say it again. In order to fall from grace, it means you have rejected the grace of God. You have reject. How do you reject the grace of God? Somebody tells you about God's grace. For you are saved by grace through faith and that not of yourself. You heard about God's grace. You like what you hear about God's grace. Then you turn right around and reject it for something else. You say to me, Brother Smith, that's real good. That sounds nice. But just in case you're wrong, I'm gonna go with Zen Buddhism. I'm gonna have Zen Buddhism in my left pocket. I have Jesus in my right, and I have Zen Buddhism in my left, so that if Jesus ain't good enough, I got Zen Buddhism. Because Zen Buddhism, you know, they claim to bring me to enlightenment. And so if Jesus can't do it, like he claims, Zen Buddhism might do it. And what you just told me is that not only do you not believe in Jesus, but you have slapped God's grace in the face. You have rejected his grace cold-blooded. And that's what our world is doing. See, that's why you can't solve sin-based problems with human-based activities. You need Christ. Now you're going to be told throughout this election, everybody's going to make promises to you. I can do this and I will do that and I'm this and I'm that, and you come go with me and I'll make your life like heaven on earth. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, but I am here to tell you this. Mankind cannot solve the problems of this planet by what he does. The problems of this planet get solved by our Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be solved when the Lord Jesus Christ comes himself and sets up his kingdom on earth and rules with a rod of iron. He himself will correct all of the problems and issues that mankind has faced. You're going to be surprised. You say, oh, I didn't know it was that easy. It won't be because of what you do, no matter how hard you try. It will be because of the grace of God in the lives of God's people who truly trust in him. Amen. Now, some of you, you heard the message. You heard the message. I mean, I told you as simple as I can. I told you as simple as I can what the Bible says, okay? But now it's decision time. It's decision time, because some of you are sitting here saying, you know, that sounds good, Brother Smith. You trying to talk me out of going to my Muslim prayer mosque. Yeah, I am. You trying to talk me out of going to my Muslim, but look, I like what you say, but I'm just in case you're wrong, I'm still going to hook up with Mohammed just to make sure that what you just told me is, look, everything I said went through one ear and out the other. What you just told me is that you don't believe in Jesus, and what you just did was you threw the grace of God to the ground. That's what you just did. No, I didn't. You don't know me. I don't need to know you. That's exactly what you did, and God will hold you accountable for that. Now, some of you in here are straddling the fence when it comes to Jesus. You're straddling the fence. You are hoping that just in case Jesus ain't all that he claims, you are hoping that there's a second or a third option that you can hold on to just in case. Brother Smith is here to tell you there is no second, third, or fourth option. There's only one option, and that option is Jesus. And so I am inviting you to stop straddling the fence. Some of you have been members of Blessed Hope. Some of you have been attending this church for some time. And I am not going to assume that all of you have put your trust in Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you a story. At Blessed Hope, we had a lady that was a member of this church when Blessed Hope used to be on Kasu. There was a person who was a member of this church, and they've been a member for some time. And they were getting ready to move on to another church. And here was that question. The question they asked us. Now, hold up. What kind of church is this again? That's what they asked. What kind of church is this again? You've been here 5 years. You don't know what kind of church this is by now? Well, then I can't help you. Some of you don't know what you're involved in. Some of you don't know what you got yourself involved in. Some of you are straddling the fence. You are hoping that there's another way to Christ, and there isn't. And so what is decision time? I'm asking you to come completely clean with Jesus. I'm asking you to put your trust and to place your eternal destiny fully on Jesus Christ. Only that is a start. That is a start to God using you to make a difference in your community, in your state, and in your nation. That is the start. That is the beginning. God wants you to stop straddling the fence. Now, what about it? Some of you, when I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, you need to come clean and say, look, Jesus, I've been one of those who've been straddling the fence. I've been hoping that something else could work in case Jesus don't. I'm going to stop that, and I'm going to put my full trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It's Jesus alone. Jesus bust. It's Jesus and nothing. I'm not going nowhere else. I'm staying with Jesus. With every eye closed and every head bowed. Every eye closed and every eye bowed. It's decision time. You need to stop straddling the fence. You need to stop rejecting the grace of God. And you need to come totally over to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Liking Jesus is not good enough. It's not good enough to like Jesus. It's not good enough to look at Jesus as your friend. And if you're a woman, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, he's your master, he's your Lord, he's your Savior. And he is the only Savior. He is asking you to put your complete trust in him as Savior. Yes. If that's you this morning, you've been straddling the fence. And by so doing, you've been cut off from Christ. You have fallen from grace. You want to say, I want to stop that. I want to truly receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. With your head bowed and your eyes closed. I only ask you to do just one thing. If that's you and you need to do that, it's decision time. You just raise your hand. You raise your hand high. I'll see it. And that's all. I see one hand raised. Now, some of you may be scared. You say, look, I'm all this crowd, all these people up in here. I don't want to raise my hand because somebody might be peeking and looking. I always give folk the easy way. I tell you what, when service is over and you mean business with Christ, you just tap me on the shoulder and say, Brother Smith, I heard what you said. And I need to truly give my life to Christ. I need to stop straddling the fence. I'm one of them. I see your hand, sir. I need to come all the way to Jesus. All you got to do is tap me on the shoulder. That's all you need to do. I'll take it from there. My Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this passage of Scripture that you have allowed us to look at this morning. You know those of us among us that are straddling the fence. We are afraid. We are afraid to go whole hog with Jesus. We're afraid. Because in our heart of hearts, we think he's not good enough, but he is. We just don't think so. Deal with us, Lord. Deal with our hearts. Deal with our minds. Help us to realize what we're doing and help us to realize what we need to do. We need to come fully to Christ. We need to look at ourselves in the mirror and know for sure that we're going to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for the Spirit of God that applies the Word of God to our hearts and to our minds. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that raise your hand, when the benediction is said, just see me up front and just have a few words to say to you, all right? All right.